What if this isn't a climate crisis, but the greatest opportunity humanity has had in a long time? Lean Into Clean will explore and discuss with highly esteemed guests on what could be the new spirals for society, sustainability, spirituality, and social harmony. Perhaps we've all lost our way. Lean Into Clean will showcase how we might remember, refocus and restore the natural ways so we can again live in balance and harmony with life on Earth and all its inhabitants. Welcome to this week's Lean Into Clean. I'm Jarvis Smith. This is UK Health Radio. How is everybody today on this? Well, up in Yorkshire, rather dull Monday. The weather has changed massively just in the last week. So I don't know where you are in the UK and if you're in the rest of the world. It's getting a bit grey and autumnal here. Anyway, there's a countdown to COP30. You may remember me talking about COP30. It's the conference of parties. It's to do with climate crisis. It's 30 years since this particular conference has been going. The next one is in Belém in Brazil. Just the other day, and this article went up on October the 10th on mygreenpod.com. Remember, that's the place to get all your news on sustainability, climate crisis, ethical products, the whole thing. My lovely wife, Katie, is the writer for all of the articles on there, and she does an article every single day. We've also had a magazine go live recently, so do go and check us out, mygreenpod.com. But this is an article on the 10th. It says, countdown to COP30. And this is a nice headline. His Majesty, the King, and His Royal Highness, the Prince of Wales, mobilise action for climate and nature. Now, with 6 weeks to go until the world gathers in Belém, Brazil, to address global climate action. The Natural History Museum in the UK government hosted an event yesterday, which was on the 9th of October. It wasn't yesterday, it was on the 9th of October, in the evening, bringing together UK change makers who are leading on climate and nature action at home and internationally. Representatives attended from the fields of finance, business, science, policy, advocacy, and education. Ambassadors from across the globe attended, including the Brazilian ambassador to the UK, His Excellency Antonio de Aguiar Patriota, and Brazil's Health Minister Alexandre Padilha, as well as a former UK Prime Minister Baroness Theresa May. Now, there's a quote here from Ed Miliband, which is the Energy Secretary. It says, "The incredible coalition assembled at this event speaks to the fact that in their workplaces, in their schools, in their communities, in their places of worship, people up and down Britain know that tackling the climate and nature crisis is the right thing to do for today's generations and future generations. Today, in the face of global challenges, I see people and countries across the world that want to stand up for materialism. Sorry, for multilateralism. That's a Freudian slip there. Cooperation with others to protect the one planet we have." It says, he said, rather, "Britain will be working with those other countries at COP30 and our friends from Brazil to push the greater global action on issues from clean energy and finance to forests and adaptation. Together, let's carry Britain's call for action and leadership to Belém and beyond it." Well, let's hope, Mr. Ed Miliband, if you are listening, you actually step up and do what you say you're going to do, because so far the government's been pretty rubbish, I think, on the whole climate issues. Accelerating action. So on the day of the countdown to COP30 event at the Natural History Museum, the UK government announced its international climate finance has helped over 137 million people adapt to climate change and has reduced or avoided 145 million tons of greenhouse gas emissions. I'm not sure where they get those figures from. I'm going to have to dig into a bit deeper to that. But Deputy Prime Minister David Lammy, the Secretary of State for Energy Security and Net Zero Ed Miliband, and Secretary of State for Environment Emma Reynolds jointly addressed the event. They spoke about the need to accelerate action on the the interlinked nature and climate crisis. The arrival of the King and the Prince of Wales at the museum coincided with the announcement that the Prince of Wales will be attending COP30 in Brazil next month. That's really good because actually our King is a huge ambassador for climate, as was his father. So hopefully they will actually get some really brilliant things done. There's a quote here from Dr. Doug Gurr, is the Natural History Museum director. He says, "We need everyone in society to get on board to tackle the twin challenges of biodiversity loss and climate change. The collective commitment to act for the planet was palpable tonight from the support of His Majesty the King and His Royal Highness the Prince of Wales and the leadership of the UK government. To the school students who are striving to transform their school grounds, making them a haven for wildlife." The article goes on. It says UK's climate solutions. Now, the event showcased some of the inspiration and innovative solutions to climate change and nature loss that have been developed in the UK. Attendees visited the museum's Fixing Our Broken Planet gallery and met some of the museum's 400 scientists who are all working to find solutions to the planetary emergency. Exclusive images captured in Brazil from this year's Wildlife Photographer of the Year exhibition were on display, and some of the awarded photographers were among the guests. There were also special displays and interactive activities by influential environmental NGOs, including the Woodland Trust and the World Wildlife Fund. Leading public-facing science-driven institutions, Royal Botanic Gardens, Kew, and the Zoological Society of London, who together with the Natural History Museum make up the UK Biodiversity Alliance, which is a great thing. They highlighted their impact and expertise in biodiversity loss and research. Government-funded projects were showcased, the National Education Nature Park. It's a free education and science research programme commissioned and funded by the Department for Education, led by NHM, working with the RHS and the UKRI funded Amazon Plus 10 initiative, which is supporting research and technological development in Brazilian legal Amazonia. The British Council's UK stroke Brazil season was represented as well as the Joint Nature Conservation Committee, the UK government's statutory body for nature conservation, while the UK Centre for Ecology and Hydrology showcased their research on Amazonia wildfires and pollinator monitoring. So that's really, really good. The reason I wanted to just kind of highlight that story is I shall be at COP this year, which is going to be in Belém in Brazil. But just before that, we're actually doing the world's first concert for nature. We have the top Bolivian artists and Brazilian artists, other artists from around South America, from the USA and the UK, who will all be coming over to Belém. We've asked them to pop to Bolivia, and we're going to be asking those artists to perform a song in gratitude and appreciation for nature. And I can hear my guest in the background. The reason I mention that concert is because today's guest is actually going to be very much linked to this event. I just want to tell you a little bit about who's going to be on the show today. So today on Lean Into Clean, we're joined by a true modern polymath, an artist, an activist, author, and environmental storyteller whose life work fuses creativity with regeneration. Aaron Abelman, who's joining us, his journey has taken him from the stages of Hollywood to the heart of the Amazon, from classrooms and reforestation projects to collaborations with global change makers. He's the mind behind Patches Pajamas, an award-winning children's story that brings nature to life through music and imagination. That sounds amazing. And he's the creative force behind Earth Media, a platform telling stories that heal the planet. Great, good to know. Aaron's message is clear. When we reconnect with our creativity, we remember our true role as artists of change. We'll be diving into what that truly means, how music and media can transform culture, and what a regenerative future looks like through the eyes of a polymath who walks his talk. Aaron, it's a joy to have you on Lean Into Clean. Welcome to the show.
Greetings and blessings. It's such an honor to be here.
Thank you. And you've got up at the absolute crack of dawn, or I understand you might have even pulled an all-nighter to be with us because you are in America. So thank you for that.
Oh, it's so great to be here, and thank you for that opening framework with where we stand on this precious blue and green planet spinning through the stars.
Well, let's get into why it's so important to you. I've got a few questions that I've just had a bit of a read up about you. So I just wanted to run something by you. But I mean, firstly, I will say you've got an extraordinary story. I mean, I did pick this up from being born in Michael Douglas's basement to planting trees around the world. Can you take us back to the moment you realized that your creativity would serve as a higher purpose?
Yes, I think this is always the eternal question as to, when the spark first lit, the Promethean spark of inspiration and commitment. It's interesting you would say that, because there was actually a global poll recently that polled 6 to 9 year olds around the world, asking them a similar, well, it asked them, what do you want to be when you grow up? And almost 70% of our world's children said that they want to save the planet. So we have we're in good company. I'm not sure if that's alarming or inspiring. My journey started, as you say, as a child. My father's a organic farmer who really had a huge impact on not just American agriculture and shifting toward sustainable systems, but also on the global conversation around food systems, water, climate, intersecting labor, all of the different, everything sort of converges in and around food in so many ways. Wendell Berry famously, sitting at our dinner table, walking the farm, I remember him speaking to the importance of bringing culture back to agriculture, and that there has been a loss of human relationship to the land, and to that land for me. So when I was a year old, we moved from the Douglas estate. I was born, as you say, at Michael Douglas's home, because my parents happened to answer a random ad in the paper, which they ended up, my father ended up the head gardener at the estate, and my mother was a cook. So we were we just they had vowed to have a home birth, and that's where I came out. But this unique upbringing of being, I would say, somewhere between, the working class people of the world and the most affluent aspects of Hollywood. And it was this kind of bridge building that I saw throughout my childhood. But when we were a year old, we moved to a small farm in Goleta, which is just north of Santa Barbara in Santa Barbara County. The joke about Goleta is, what's the difference between Goleta and a bowl of yogurt? Is that one has a culture. So coming back to culture again.
Oh dear.
But the university is there, and Goleta was also sort of ground zero for the development boom that happened in the 90s. When we moved there, it was all farmland, so mostly lemons and citrus, and avocados, and
Oh, nice.
incredible Mediterranean climate, 40 feet deep topsoil, phenomenal growing, and was an extraordinary place to be raised. But when I was about 8 years old, the entire neighborhood was all around us, was bulldozed for tract homes, and 22 fast food restaurants popped up in a 2 mile distance,
Wow.
a smart bomb factory across the street. It was almost as if some sort of alien, alien had just dropped these computer chip development homes all around us. Within 6 months to 18 months, the whole neighborhood was transformed, and we were the last postage stamp of greenery in that area. So when it came time for us to save our land. We did. We actually mobilized the community and used music and arts festivals and storytelling and, all the basics, just bringing the village together, because so many people depended on that land. We fed thousands of families every week. And so we actually raised the money and preserved the farm in perpetuity as a land trust education center, which then became the Center for Urban Agriculture and is still going, thanks to, my father's vision and the strength of community and all the, the collective will. And that, I think that was really the archetype for me, was just seeing the power of community and the power of culture, and a clear why that we all had something that was bigger than any one of us, and that was our love for good food, for green spaces. And I've been in many ways just iterating on that story my whole life.
Nice, nice. That's amazing. I mean, what an extraordinary upbringing. I can absolutely relate to it because, not that I had the same circumstances as you, but kind of being exposed to one side of the coin and another side of the coin at exactly the same time is a really thrilling upbringing. So no, I can admire you for having the tenacity to notice the difference and therefore draw something out of yourself for that. Now, I wanted to ask you, in your kind of the research that I did on you, it says that you've studied with indigenous elders and even the Dalai Lama. What did those experiences teach you? Maybe about, I don't know, inner balance or outer action.
Yes. Well, I love that there is now the inner development goals that are paired with the sustainable development
Yeah,
goals.
I
And
love those. I'm
that's
very much
a
a part of the inner development goals. I do my own practice daily, so I love that you've reminded us about that.
it's very, very important that we, the more science that's coming out around the quantum side of just the importance of human consciousness and the way that we see things is crucial. And I'm glad that you mentioned in particular some of the indigenous elders and spiritual teachers that I've had in my life, because traditionally every culture has, I should say, every if you look far back enough, all wisdom traditions, and all peoples have connection to wisdom woven into their village life. It's not, there's no separation between, let's say, our job or and the ethical and wisdom and spiritual development that's required for us to actually operate in the world, and however that out pictures, let's say. And I think my parents, again, to their credit, exposed me to some very extraordinary models. We would go to Hopi land in Old Araibi, which is, one of the longest inhabited village sites in Hopi, Arizona. Thousands, almost five, what is it, 5,000 plus years at least, just on one in one place in one of the most harsh conditions in the world. And through the songs and ceremonies and through an indigenous means of honoring the land and all of the cosmology, I should say, of the Hopi people, you have a just an extraordinarily peaceful, compassionate, egalitarian society. Not to say that there's not problem, there's, anywhere there's human, there's challenges, but the my experience going to Hopi land and my adopted grandmother Caroline. She was almost as tall as me, and I was 6 years old, but just absolutely one of the most brightest, beautiful smiles you've ever had. Just seeing the ways in which she gifted me a clown kachina and really, exposed me to indigenous cosmology and also showed me or at least pointed the direction into some of my own ancestral wisdom keepers, and so growing up, it was always, this beautiful appreciation for the diversity of human wisdom and spirituality as it relates to the land and how, our original obligations to the water and to the foods that we coax and to the things that we make with our hands and with our hearts. But always it was very much this kind, it wasn't even necessarily a question that ethics and spirituality were woven into everything that was done. And so I was able to, I think, follow that golden thread in my life and all the way to my travels and when I got older, living in India and doing the Kala Chakra teaching initiation with His Holiness the Dalai Lama, and just seeing the different ways in which wisdom is kept in our modern society. I think that we suffer from an intention deficit disorder, and we also suffer from an ethical, I would say, an ethical apathy that, we need cultures that are rooted in ethics, whether we like it or not. We need accountability, and part of that, I think, the major part of that accountability comes from within us, So, just in my journey, every major teacher that I've come across has always pointed to that ethical conundrum, of what it means to be human and how do we really live life well.
Yeah, nice. Let me stop you there. I'm just going to have to go to a commercial break. It's we are a live radio show. We've got to obviously just honor our advertisers. So bear with me. We're going to come back to you straight after the break, Aaron. Don't go away, everybody out there. We're going to dig deeper into Aaron's upbringing and find out what he's up to now and in the very near future.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Good. Welcome back. I'm here with Aaron Abelman. We're just getting into his background and, you know, what's given him that kind of holistic approach to life, including the, dare I say it, the spiritual and the physical and all of those teachings that came from his upbringing. Aaron, who was the most profound indigenous or wisdom elder that kind of inspired you? Do you remember a particular message or something that you thought, now that is some cool stuff right there?
I've referenced Grandmother Caroline from Hopi land in Old Araibi in Arizona, and she was so incredible to me. Her hands, I remember she would put my hands in her hands when they were cold in the mornings, just at sunrise, and she would kind of whisper and sing to them. Mm-hmm. And you know, one of the things she said was that, how did she put it? She was talking about how in the songs are all of the greatest prayers and the greatest wishes for the coming generations. You know, it's almost like this this promissory note that is in each song. It's a commitment to that the world is actually moving in a progressive and evolutionary manner, and mm-hmm. that as she would sing to my hands, there was a depth to them. And I remember asking her once, you know, what she was singing, because they were in traditional language, and she said that much. I can't get too much further, but it was just a very intimate, deep moment for me that someone would be singing to my hands, and in a way singing to my, you know, to my lineage and to the future, you know, because here I am 5 years old.
Yeah.
And her kindness and just her generosity and her love for me, it was almost like we were two peas in a pod, and yet we were from vastly different worlds. So there was something really immense about it. I don't even know if it was something that was said. I think it was what was sung.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Beautiful. And that, I mean, let's move into your artistry, because I mean, there's quite a lot of art you're involved in. I mean, a polymath really means, in fact, what does a polymath mean to you? If you describe yourself as a polymath, what do you mean by that?
It's having a, not just a facility and a deep reverence and respect for multiple disciplines, multiple crafts, but also having a depth of expertise in multiple different forms of expression. And I would say my polymathic approach has been much more my love of language, my love of very, very deeply my ecological commitment and my, you know, the ways in which I approach life. I'm seeing things more from connection and across disciplines. Mm-hmm. And I think that I think it's telling that we're in the 30th year of these Conference of Parties, and we all know, because we're seeing it everywhere, that things are out of balance, that there's, you know, extraordinary pollution, that there's, you know, also, you know, that the weather is going haywire. You don't need to be a scientist anymore. And we know that this is not a scientific crisis, We know that this is a crisis of imagination, of communication, and our ability to actually somehow propel action in a very meaningful way. And something, the reason why I brought it to the climate issue is because we need communicators across many different disciplines coming from, I think, more unlikely places and spaces. And I've been obsessed with and focused on storytelling. I think that narrative at the root of this is a crisis of story. And if we can tell a story that, you know, first and foremost, really helps us remember the larger context in which we're living and how interconnected everything is. I think it's the narrative shift that I've been working on has been one, you know, that's moving from divisiveness and, you know, individualism to one of connection and interdependence, because everything on this planet is interwoven. Whether we like it or not, we're, you know, across all party lines, across all racial lines, across all class lines, you know, we are interconnected, and we can't get away from that one fundamental truth. And so I think stories that really honor our interdependence are going to move us in a better direction, so that our economies start to reflect those values, that so that we, you know, we really truly recognize that, you know, a war in the other side of the world in the Middle East is actually having precipitating impacts all around the planet. Or you know, when we cut down old growth trees in the heart of the Amazon, that we're actually changing the weather all over the planet. We are rupturing these original obligations, which is first and foremost, you know, that we have a stewardship obligation now, especially in the Anthropocene, with so much power given to the human. We have an obligation to, you know, to right the ship in a way. So I've really, you know, gone deep into the narrative world. But how that outpictures for me is, you know, is through books, is through film, filmmaking, is through music. In particular, I think music is the universal language. But there's so many different ways in which we're digesting content digitally now that we do need more polymathic approaches, meaning just intersectional approaches, you know, rooted in expertise.
Nice. But as you brought up the music, I think this might be a good moment to, excuse me, play one of your songs. You've got a recent song out. It's called All I Want for My Birthday, which is going to be an interesting song. Do you mind if we play that song now, and then you can tell me all about the song and why you wrote it and what it's about? Would that be a good moment?
Perfect.
Great. We're going to play All I Want for My Birthday by Aaron Abelman.
All I want for my birthday is
peace and love, liberation.
All I want for my birthday is global peace and liberation. Call me what you want, call me crazy, but this
with no hope. A freedom too high, it cost children orphaned and are sold off. But slowly, like water on rock, I felt the ancestors near. Whoa, all life can change. Turn the mind clock, birthday reminder. Zero to hero to birth, a new earth fresh like a beatbox. Wow, I saw through this matrix like hero. The will of suffering stops. Turn ego to ego, heals my mind. No final boss, I am the money. The law and the legal, I am the Congress. Courts and the people all come from one universal sun. One love, same, same, but different. Call us no name, call us no number. No, not sorry, we are the love of Mrs. World of War.
כולנו חופשיים, אני חוות האדמה, שורשים בפלסטין. חלף מספיק, אין שלום בלי צדק. רק בשואה, זמן להתרפא מהאבל. I'm not free till everyone is free. I'm one with the earth, with the river, with the sea. Enough is enough, no justice, no peace. Time to heal, decolonize and release. Cease, fire be the light. Each of us plays a part, they divide, we unite. We climb higher, we ignite. Our love for our life is stronger than their might. Every day is Earth Day, every day I'm reborn. The grief is heavy, there's so much we mourn. I transmute the pain, I'm a seed in the dirt. Freedom is here, we are the earth.
Ignite into this consciousness. Bend the earth in the love and bliss now.
Wow, what a great record. I love it. I love it. Great production. I like your vibe. Who's the featured artist on there as well? She's really cool. Tell us about the song then.
Yeah. So it's actually All I Want for My Birthday is Global Peace is the end part of the name that we came up with. And it features Hilla the Earth, who's a viral sustainability artist. I don't know if she would call herself that, but she is repeatedly gone viral because she dresses up as the planet and performs all over New York City, all over the world, actually. She was just out here in California staying with me. And it's just been a great pleasure to, you know, to work with artists all over the world around the greatest cause of our generation, which is our love for life and this planet, and how many different ways of approaching that. So this song came out for International Day of Peace and was a part of a global broadcast. And it's just been so exciting to see all the different ways in which my creativity is used and leveraged for different campaigns and organizations and different formats. And I actually came out with my fourth book this summer, Jarvis. Which was a big accomplishment for me, and it hit bestseller in two categories on Amazon. It's called Gaia's Game, And I wanted to shout that out as well, because again, we're talking about the power of arts, culture, creativity to help us not only see how we navigate and create better stewardship of this planet and honor mm-hmm. our interdependence, but also how do we see ourselves, you know? And so the story of Gaia's Game is very much in this same ethic. And it's very exciting. We came out with the book, and just to see all the different ways in which culture is championing solutions and, you know, uplifting new archetypes and new mythologies.
Yeah, nice. Amazing. Well, I love the song. I mean, I don't know if you know, but I'm also a signed recording artist. Maybe we should try and get a song in together and release it for Earth Day next year. But anyway, that's something we can talk about separately.
I'd be honored.
It'd be great, wouldn't it? let me just ask you about Gaia's Game, because there's another book you wrote for children, which is Patch's Pajamas.
That's right.
And it's been a bit of a cultural phenomenon, and it's really, you know, a conscious children's media. What inspired that story, and is it linked to Gaia's Game, or what's your kind of connection with the young people of the world?
Yeah, well, again, I was really poured into as a child, and I think I saw the power of story and media at a very young age, and was, you know, we were all raised in so many ways by the books that we read and the shows that we watched and the music that we listened to. And Pacha's Pajamas was a culmination for me of, after being an educator and a teacher in the schools, as well as, you know, working internationally with a lot of youth groups and youth organizations. So I won't go too far into the different reasons why that project came about, but it was a big deal. You know, I wrote this little story about a girl that has magic pajamas, and she, you know, at night when she falls asleep, the characters sparkle alive and they come alive off the threads of her PJs, and she goes on dream adventures with the characters, and they're plants and animals actually. And in the first dream adventure that she goes on is where all the plants and animals of the world organize a giant "We Are the World" Live Aid, but it's for nature. And it's interesting that you mentioned Bolivia, because this, in some ways, this is kind of, but so that all the plants and animals organize this huge concert. The issue is that no humans are invited. So Pacha, the little girl, is disguised herself as an animal, and she travels into this mythological world where, you know, they build a stadium. The mushroom suggested, of course, but they build this stadium, and the Beatles are an insect band, and the sun and moon are the spotlights, and the electric eels power the stage. And
love it.
You know, it's just this epic journey that she has to then kind of take that wisdom that she learned from her dream back to her waking life. And I experienced such tremendous success. You know, the project reached over 3 million kids. We won 20 plus awards, and we've adapted it to different formats. We had 75 artists on the double volume album, including, you know, got to work with some of my heroes like Mos Def and Talib Kweli are on it. And it was a great experience. And I think one of many examples of how we can really propel this kind of work forward. And Gaia's Game is the next generation. It's really Pacha's Pajamas 2.0 for me. Mm-hmm. Gaia's Game is a story about four orphan children from four conflict zones who on their 10th birthday, they receive a gift from a bird, delivered by a bird, I should say. And it's a little mysterious gift package with a letter from Gaia calling them onto this epic, epic adventure. And they actually have to find each other, and they end up joining a global Earth school where they're, you know, uncovering ancient wisdom to help heal the planet together as a, you know, as a part of this wave of children around the world.
Wow, sounds absolutely amazing. My kids would love that. I would love that. I mean, it sounds right up my street. We're going to have to go to another commercial break, Aaron, but don't go away, everyone, because I want to come back and ask Aaron, you know, firstly, where can we get hold of these games and these songs? So let's hear a little bit more about that. And also, what's on Aaron's plans next? Because clearly this guy is a creative wizard, so I'd love to know what kind of wizardry is up to next. But we'll just go to commercial break. We'll see you back here shortly. Don't go away.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. I'm here with Aaron Abelman. We're going to get one of his songs, another one of his songs in. So that's really important. We've heard a little bit about Patch's Pajamas and Guy's Game. Aaron, how do people connect with you, and how do they get to... I'm sure lots of listeners will be interested in the games and the books and the songs. What's the best way for people to reach out to you?
Yeah, you can check out For Gaia's Game. It's just GAIASGAME.org, GaiasGame.org.
Yeah.
And if you want to reach out to me personally, AaronAbelman.com. That's AaronAbelman.com. I'm also pretty reachable on socials. This is collaborative. This work is always collaborative. There's always ways in which we can, you know, help each other. And I also love doing a lot of mentorship with younger artists and voices for the planet. So I'm really excited about connecting with folks and encourage different ways in which we can explore that. There's some amazing things on the horizon right now. To segue, I think, where you were going, Jarvis. Lots of really exciting things on the horizon. Maybe we should dive in there.
Well, let's definitely do that. Do you want to play your song first, or should we dive in and then we'll play your song at the end of the show, the second song?
Let's play it at the end, if that works for you.
Yep, that's absolutely fine. Yeah, let's do that. So listen, if you want to check out Aaron's, if you use Instagram, which a lot of people do now, it's Aaron with a double A at the beginning. So it's AAron.Abelman, as it said. And Gaia's Game, just to repeat that, is gaiasgame.org. So go and check those things out. Get some of his songs played on Spotify, all the support we can give him. So what's on the horizon? Tell us what are you plotting, planning now? What's got your juices flowing?
Well, I am really excited about this raising of consciousness that's happening all over the world. I'm seeing, you know, such a extraordinary receptivity to the work that I'm doing in a way that I don't think I've ever seen, you know, projects, these projects that I've mentioned, Gaia's Game, you know, the receptivity has been incredible. And right now we have, you know, a program where, you know, we're sending books, healing, what we're calling healing literacy, to refugees and orphanage and orphans, and low-income schools around the world. We have sister school programs where kids are, you know, reading the book. They're translating the book. The book is in 60 countries and going to be into its fifth language translation. We have a Farsi version, Swahili version, Arabic version. So, you know, continuing to expand the book in different ways, but also the possibility for moving it out into other media formats. You know, I'm really interested in doing some kind of series around Gaia's Game. We have a global initiative that is focused on conflict resolution and arts, culture-led peace-building work, and that's called Global Peace Yes. And so there's a bunch of music coming out around that. I'm also the interim executive director at Project 17 Foundation, which is a arts, culture-led initiative focused on the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals and how best to educate and implement those. There's a lot happening. It's a very busy time, and also getting on, you know, bigger and bigger stages and different ways in which I see collaborating with bigger artists, because we need the bullhorn of our artistry and the listening, the listening audiences of major artists around the world to really hear the call that I'm speaking to, which is, you know, taking radical responsibility for our planet and for each other at a time when, you know, it seems like so much is being lost and so much is hopeless. I think artists have a responsibility to, yes, of course, you know, we need to grieve and sing and you know, sing about the grievance and the sorrow of all the injustices and what's going on ecologically and socially, but also, you know, to shine a light as to where we can go as a species, you know, one toward solidarity and compassion and, you know, building a better society.
Yeah, nice. I love that. Well, let's really, you know, congratulate you for that work that you're doing. I really love how, you know, you're trying to get other artists involved. It's been, you know, very close to my heart to do the very, very similar thing. I don't know if you know, but back in 2006, I think it was, I actually created and signed the world's first sustainable recording contract with my record label. I was a real pioneer in that space a long, long time ago. And then you're now working with A.Y. Young, who is obviously doing amazing work, and the Battery Tour, and, you know, some of the work that you've talked about being involved in. So I really commend you for that. Let's see one of your other songs, because I know music's really, really close to your heart. Tell us the next song you're going to play.
Yeah, this is actually, this song came out of a collaboration with Major, who's actually an extraordinary super producer. He was a part of seeding this song with me. Actually, we originally started this for Sadhguru's Save Soil initiative with Conscious Planet. It's called Earth's Musical Anthem, and it features Jesse Wagner and myself on vocals, and just a whole cadre of musicians that came together to, in a way, write a love song to the earth.
Nice. I love that. Aaron, listen, it's been an absolute joy having you on the show. I know the time goes so quickly, but just know that we absolutely appreciate you for, you know, staying up to these ungodly hours, bearing in mind that you're either 8 or 9 hours difference to us. So thank you. It's been a joy having you on. I'd love to get you back on once you start getting some of these projects up and running that you're currently working on. We'd love to hear more. I know our listeners would love to hear more. So thank you very, very much.
Oh, thank you so much, Jarvis. And to all the listeners out there, blessings to you and sincere gratitude for all the little and big ways in which you impact and serve this beautiful life that we're all sharing.
That's very kind of you to say so. Thank you. I greatly appreciate it. And to everybody out there listening, thank you. Aaron's been an absolute joy. I hope you agree. We do try and get, you know, just the most amazing people onto our show. And I think, Aaron, you are, you know, such a visionary. But also, just thank you for sharing your wisdom and your art and your heart with us today. You know, you're proof that when we align our creativity with service, the world shifts a little closer to balance. And to everyone listening, remember, healing the planet starts with the stories we tell. So stay clean, stay conscious, and stay connected. And this is Aaron Abramman's second song, the Earth Anthem. Thank you very much indeed. See you soon.
And I was your baby,
your blue, the wind, and I was your fandom.
Air versus earth in a battle of the month of May.
Took the sweetest fruit as your ransom.
Stole my heart a choke, but I'm blessed to give away. Now
every day we sing Earth's musical anthem.
Painting earth out of earth like an artist, growing life and blessed to say,
every day we sing.